Let's take our Bibles this morning and open up with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 23 and put a marker here in Proverbs 23. We are mostly going to be in the book of Proverbs this morning. We'll only travel away from it a couple of times. As you're finding Proverbs 23, I want to begin with some interesting facts about Father's Day. First of all, Father's Day, the first one was celebrated on June the 19th. In 1910 in the state of Washington. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge stressed and urged the nation to observe Father's Day. However, it wasn't until 1972 when President Richard Nixon actually signed into law that this was going to be Father's Day, celebrated on the third Sunday of June. When Father's Day first began to burst upon the scene, and as especially by the time President Coolidge had urged the states to celebrate it, most men did not like Father's Day. In fact, on the History.com website, it was written this way. It says that the men scoffed at the holiday's sentimental attempts to domesticate manliness with flowers and gift-giving. Or they derided the proliferation of such holidays as a commercial gimmick to sell more products, often paid for by Dad himself. Well, this year, according to the statistics, over $12 billion is going to be spent on Father's Day gifts. Now, I know we shake our heads and we say, oh my, that's extravagant. Well, I got news for you guys. $23 billion was spent on Mother's Day. So we're about half of what they got. The most popular gifts that are still given, this has not changed, is still the necktie. That's number one. Or hammers, screwdrivers, and wrenches. That's number two. Electronics. That is number three. It might be interesting to know that Father's Day has dropped from the fourth position to the fifth position of the holidays when the most cards are given. So not as many Father's Day cards, but still, fifth place isn't bad. And if you have female children, guys, statistics prove you're going to get better gifts than if you have male children. Sorry, guys. Sorry, young men. That's just the way the statistics fall. I don't write them. I just share them. So. Now, here's something most people miss. Did you realize that Father's Day is misspelled? Anybody recognize that? It was originally spelled correctly. Today, it is F-A-T-H-E-R apostrophe S. Singular possessive, it should be F-A-T-H-E-R apostrophe S for plural possessive. What'd I say? No, F-A-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe. There we go. Thank you. Either way, you're saying, who cares? At least we get a day, right? As I was studying and thinking and praying and asking the Lord, what do I say for Father's Day? You know, this is about my 30th Father's Day sermon that I've preached. And trying to think, Lord, what do you want me to say that I haven't already said? And a thought hit me. All right, now maybe this is splitting hairs, but it'll make sense when we get to the message. All right, if you got a Father's Day card, how many of you got your Father's Day card? Okay, you're part of that fifth largest section of greeting cards. If you got that card, on the card it'll say Happy Father's Day. Somewhere in the card, Happy Father's Day. So the emphasis is on Father's Day. It's on the holiday. And I was out on my four-wheeled mowing office thinking, and the thought hit me. Why do we put the emphasis on Father's Day when the card says, Happy Father's Day? Follow the difference? Shake your head if you're following me. It's okay, I see a few honest no's. Okay, so let's change this and this will make sense. Suppose we celebrated Unhappy Father's Day. That's kind of like a fortune cookie in reverse. Unhappy Father's Day. We're not celebrating an unhappy father. We're wanting to celebrate happy fathers. So this is a Happy Father's Day. This is a day to celebrate a happy dad. Hence, and I don't typically title sermons, okay? I do just for my own notes, but I usually don't share that with you because it's like, who cares? I'm not into cutesy little things. But this one has a title. Here's the title. We know what makes a man a dad, but what makes a dad glad? See, this is why I don't typically share them. It's too cutesy. But it makes sense. We know what makes a dad, okay? That's a given. But what makes a dad glad? Because if we want to wish dads happy Father's Day, are you a happy father? Not because somebody bought you presents. Not because somebody gave you a card. Are you a happy father celebrating today? Or are you kind of brought into this day out of necessity because it fell on the calendar, you wish it hadn't have, but in truth, you're not a happy father. You're an unhappy father. You're a sad father. You're a discouraged father. We want to celebrate Happy Father's Day. And so that's what we want to look at because the Bible does talk about what makes for a happy dad. So, in Proverbs 23, verse 24. Proverbs 23, verse 24, the first part of verse 24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice." Is that a happy dad? Okay? So, the first point we look at is that a happy dad is a dad whose child is saved. A happy dad is a dad, and I'm talking to the Christian dads. A happy dad is a dad whose child has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Could there be anything more satisfying, anything more rewarding, anything, dads, that you could possibly rejoice over more than to have a child come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. What Christian dad isn't thrilled to find out or to have the privilege, as we recognize the dads that had the privilege of leading a child to the Lord? What a wonderful opportunity that those dads had. But then to hear that your child has accepted Christ, even if somebody else had that privilege of leading them to the Lord. Maybe it was back in Olympians, or it was in Word of Life, or it was at a Christian camp while they were gone for camp during the week. Whatever the situation was, and the child comes home and says, "Dad, guess what? I just accepted Christ as my Savior." No Christian dad is going to look at that and go, "Oh, that's nice." That Christian dad is going to just about explode in joy as they rejoice because the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. As parents, and especially as dads, there is no greater responsibility or joy than to bring our children to the Lord and to do that early in their lives. Just consider the Lord's desire here in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 15. "And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Can a little child come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? Absolutely. Because the Bible says that we have to come as that little child, the faith of that little child. And it's amazing the faith that a little child will have. We oftentimes will use the illustration, how many times have we done this? How many times have we as dads, we have taken our children and we've tossed them into the air and we've caught them and they're just, do it again. You know, they had a ball doing that. You could have thrown them in the air all day long. They had fun with that. They never once thought, what if dad got preoccupied? Oh, what was that over here? Boom. They never thought about that. They never once thought that dad won't catch me. Of course, then there's my child. I tossed her in a ceiling fan. It was an accident. The parsonage that we had in Michigan in the one room had a great ceiling, and I mean huge. I mean, there was no way I could have ever tossed her in that room and ever hit the ceiling. It was so stinking high. And then we were in the television room one day, and I forgot where I was. Poink. She just kind of looks at me like, what'd you do that for? We still did it again, though. I mean, that's the faith of a child. She didn't look at me the next time and say, come on, you want me to throw you in the air? You know what? You know, never did that. I still got to do that. I just never did it in that room ever again. But anyhow, I was reading a sermon by Spurgeon from July the 24th, 1864. He said this, he said, any who shall say, do not teach your children, they will be converted in God's own time if it be his purpose. Therefore, leave them to run wild in the streets. We'll certainly both sin against the child and the Lord Jesus. We might as well say, if that piece of ground is to grow a harvest, it'll do so if it's God's good pleasure. Therefore, leave it. Let the weeds spring up and cover it. Do not endeavor for a moment to kill the weeds or to sow the good seed. Spurgeon was right on the money there. Who in the world would say, don't bring your kids early to Jesus? No, you bring your kids as early to the Lord as possible, right from the beginning. There's no reason to wait until they hit a particular age. You start talking to that child in utero. They can hear. Start talking to that kid about the Lord. And by the way, they're hearing anyways. They're hearing everything that's going on. You start talking to them about the Lord. Happy dads are those whose kids have trusted Jesus as Savior. Go back to Proverbs 23 and the last part of verse 24. It says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. All right? We're going to look at a bunch of verses here in Proverbs. So travel with me back to chapter 15 and verse 20. Chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Go to chapter 10 and verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So not only is a happy dad a dad whose child has accepted Christ as Savior, but a happy dad is a dad whose children are wise. Now, how do you know if you have a wise child? Many times a dad will say things like this. They'll say, boy, they're really doing great in school. They're getting good grades. They're working hard. So proud of them. Or they might say, well, they're the star on the ball team. You know, they can throw. They can catch. They can hit. They can run. They can jump. They can do all these different athletic things. Or they will say, well, they have a great job. They're pulling down more money than I ever pulled down at that age. Or they would say, they have a beautiful home full of beautiful stuff and they have new things parked in the driveway. You might be proud of your child for those accomplishments, and there's certainly nothing wrong with those accomplishments, but those accomplishments do not prove that your child is wise. They have accomplished great things, but that doesn't mean they're wise. Doesn't mean that they have wisdom. Those aren't the things that make for a happy dad, a dad that, biblically speaking, can celebrate Happy Father's Day. What does the Bible say, then, a wise child looks like? Well, let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 1. The Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So the first thing is that a wise child is teachable. A wise child is teachable. I think that as dads, we are here today and we would have to all agree that we enjoy imparting to our kids the things that we have learned through the years. You enjoy, as a Christian dad, imparting spiritual truth to them. You enjoy imparting to them skills and things that are going to be life things they need to know. We enjoy doing that. When a child is not only attentive, but you can tell that they're really listening and they're really learning and all those kinds of things, that makes a dad, doesn't that make your heart just about, you swell up all over the place? Because your child is demonstrating wisdom. They are listening. And they're not only listening, but they're trying to incorporate those things that you have taught them. They're not just giving you ear time, but you can tell it's they're hearing with their heart. And that makes a dad glad. That makes a dad glad. However, when a child is a know-it-all, corrects their parent, dismisses what the parent says as old-fashioned, antiquated information that's unnecessary, not practical for my life today, that breaks a dad's heart. And a dad does not have a happy Father's Day when their child is unteachable. One of the things that, and to be honest, I bet you my dad had several unhappy Father's Day because I was bullheaded. I know you, that's hard for you to believe, but I was stubborn, really stubborn. But I went in last night. It was about 10:30 last night. Blew a breaker out in the garage, okay? Blew a breaker, and it's still got the bus fuses. So put a new bus fuse in, didn't work. And I thought, well, maybe that fuse isn't any good. So we ran to Walmart real quick, got more fuses, put a new fuse in, still didn't work. I'm not a happy camper. Because my camper was plugged into that fuse. So I'm not happy. And I'm trying to figure out what happened. And it was just like, started thinking and get out the voltmeter and start tracking down, going through the garage, following the wires, starting with the fuse box, testing what's my voltage here, following where's that wire go, how's it come, okay, I'm going and going and going and going. And I found where my problem was at. Found it. And I walked into the house and I told my wife, I said, Happy Father's Day to my dad. There's only one reason I knew how to do that. And it wasn't because I was standing there with rapt attention watching like, okay, Dad, show me. Dad was trying to show me these things, and I was not very respectful and not very attentive, but I was there because you're going to be here, period. You know, that was Dad. You're going to be here. And I just, Lord, let Dad know I learned something. I actually was paying attention. And I wish that I could go back and have Dad here to say, run down, because I wanted to call Dad up and say, guess what, Dad, I figured this out. You know why I figured it out? I was paying attention. Believe it or not, I was teachable. Taught me something. And I was honestly thanking the Lord because I had learned, and I knew where I had learned this from, because nobody else had ever showed me how to do this stuff. And to be able to go back through to rewire things and to walk in at 10:30 last night and saying, woohoo, we have juice. I was happy. Maybe that doesn't pump you up, and that's okay. It's my story. And it lit me up. I was pretty pumped. Go back to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16. A wise child not only is teachable, but a wise child gives evidence of that wisdom by how they speak. Proverbs 23, verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Haven't you ever talked to a young person or heard them speaking to others and you were floored with the dignity, the intelligence, the respect, the poise, the maturity that they showed? And we acknowledge that they were different from the majority because of the way that they spoke. And I would imagine that the parent of the child who gives evidence of wisdom as they speak, it doesn't have to be an older kid. It can be a younger kid that is wise beyond their years. That is a parent that when they hear their child speak or somebody comes up to them and says, you know what? I was just blown away by your kid. How old are they? They spoke way beyond their years. The maturity was there, the poise, the dignity, the intelligence, it was there. Wow. And why are we so blown away by that? And I think the reason that we are so blown away by that is because wisdom is in short supply these days. Wisdom is in short supply. And so when we see wisdom on display, it blows our mind. And the heart of a dad swells and rejoices. The heart of that dad is glad. Go to Proverbs 29. Here's another one. Proverbs 29, verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. A wise child is moral. How many parents have had their hearts broken by a child that comes and says, I'm pregnant? Or a child that comes and says, I got my girlfriend pregnant. How many dads have been brokenhearted to have heard something like that? As parents, we know that those immoral choices are a downward spiral. And they have set the child on course for pretty much everything as opposed to what it should have been. It sets them on a course that is not what it could have been. Their choices lacked wisdom, and quite often the child feels bad that they're going to suffer the consequences from their actions, but oftentimes there's no evidence that they're brokenhearted because all of a sudden they got wise. Wise too late, but now still wise. It's just that, oh, I'm sorry I got caught in this. I wish this had never happened because now everybody knows what I've been doing and how immoral of a life I've been living, but then they don't go on to live a moral life. And a dad's heart breaks. But when you have children that are moral, when you have children that make the right, godly, clean, living decisions, that's a parent that's proud as a peacock. That is a dad whose heart wants to explode out of their chest and they want to say, that's my kid. That's my kid. Happy fathers, moral kids make for happy dads. Go to Proverbs 28, verse 7. Proverbs 28, verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. A wise child chooses their friends carefully. When your child brings their friends home or they want to go to a friend's house, parent size them up. And for the kids that are here, let me just tell you something. That's your parent's job, to size them up. That is your parents' job to nitpick them.
They're just nitpicking my friends. They don't like any of my friends.
Well, maybe if you pick better. I know you don't want to hear that, but truth is truth. A wise child chooses their friends carefully. I can remember years ago, Dad telling me, I was 17, 18 years old, Dad telling me, he says, I want you to stay away from a certain person. And I'm like, what? You need to stay away from that person. And I says, but Dad, that's not the right thing to do. That's not very Christian, Dad, you know, because I've got all the spiritual answers in the world. I'm 17, 18 years old, and I know it all. And Dad's just not being very Christian about this, Dad. And my dad's answer was this. Now you heard me. You know, there was no need for explanation. By the way, parents, kids, listen to this. Your parents do not owe you an explanation for anything. They don't owe you an explanation for anything. They are your parents. You are to honor and obey your parents. They don't have to explain to you. My dad did not believe in explanation. In fact, this is how far it went. Dad said, I don't know why, but you heard me. Within 2 weeks, that individual had done something so bad that if I had not have listened, and I did listen to Dad, pouted the whole time, but I listened because I feared Dad. And so I did what he said. Within 2 weeks, that individual had messed up so bad that there is a very good chance that if I had not have listened, I would have been involved in the fallout. And because for 2 weeks I had distanced myself by force, and then after it happened, I'm like, oh. Now, I should have went to Dad and said, Dad, wow, you are so right. Help me choose my friends. I didn't give him that. Well, I wasn't going to let on how wrong I was, and I wasn't going to let him know how right he was. I mean, come on, we got to keep this division here, you know. I don't want to give up too many things just yet. You know, it's amazing how long it takes us to grow up and get wise. It is amazing. And to think that our parents and our fathers are there, and they've been down those roads, and they're trying to speak the wisdom of their experience into our lives. And if we would just listen, we would make them happy. And while it may not make us ecstatically thrilled at the moment, there will come a day where we will look back over our shoulders and say, wow, how did they get so smart? Because we thought they were dumber than a box of rocks, right? Isn't that amazing how dumb they were when we were 18, but after we hit about 21, 22, we realized how smart they were and how wise they were. How did they do that in 3 years? They didn't go to college or anything. How'd they do that? Well, it's because they were. I want us to consider one more point here. Go to Proverbs 29, verse 3. Proverbs 29, verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. Go back to chapter 23 and verse 23. Chapter 23 and verse 23. And here it says, buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. A wise child desires more wisdom. When you see a child hungry for wisdom, when you see a child that is hungry for God's wisdom, when you see a child that will come and seek out their parents' advice and their counsel and value it, that is the heart of a dad that is glad. That is the heart that rejoices. If these things are present, it makes for a happy father. And this is a day when happy fathers get to be celebrated. Now, if the kids are paying attention, you say, I thought this was Father's Day. Why are you picking on us? Because you're the ones that wished your dad a happy Father's Day. Do you really want him happy? Well, I'll buy him a little something. That'll make him happy. And probably for a moment or two, yes, it will. Maybe I need to put it this way. Do you want to keep him happy? You say, I can't buy that much stuff. You're not told to buy gifts. You're told to buy wisdom. That's what you're told to invest in. And if a child is wise, that's exactly what they're going to do. So kids, and by the way, this isn't just 18 and under. How many of you still have you're an adult and your adult dad is still living? Okay. So the ball is in our courts. Do we want Dad to have a happy Father's Day? Is it just about a holiday that was signed into law in 1972? Or is it really desiring for Dad to be happy? And the way to make Dad happy, according to the Scriptures, is very, very clear. Now, one other thing I want to give you, and this one we're going to travel to the Psalms, Psalm 128. One more thing to see this morning. It's a little small psalm, only six verses. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now, we can take that and we can apply that to either gender, right? But then you read verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. So the context of this psalm is aimed at dads. It's aimed at the husbands because it's talking about thy wife. Aimed at the dads, talking about your children. How does this start out? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. I ask you this morning, ladies, apply this to yourself, but dads, I am pointing this at us. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? A lot of times as dads or men, we would say, well, yeah, I fear God as much as a guy. You know, guys, we aren't supposed to be afraid. You know, we're supposed to be tough and rough. And we don't fear anything. I look fear in the death, right in the eyes. I eat it for lunch, you know, that kind of attitude. Do we fear God? Let me tell you something, men. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't fear God. Don't kid yourself and say that you do. You don't fear God. The Bible tells us in John's Gospel that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if you don't know the Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, you're not getting to God. That means when you leave this world, you don't go to heaven. But instead, you will hear those awful words, depart from me, I never knew you. You will be cast into hell for an eternity. Gentlemen, do you fear God? Do you fear the God that has the power over death and hell and the grave? Do you fear the God who can either say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you? Do you fear God? Has there ever come a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, oh, yeah, I think I did. Thinking about it isn't good enough. If you think you did, that means you don't know if you really did or didn't. Which most likely means you didn't. And you don't know Christ as Savior. Or you say, well, I don't know if I can be sure about that. The Bible says you can be sure. Why not be sure of something that you can be sure of? And the most important thing ever, to know Christ as Savior. Dad's a happy Father's Day, and I know I've put the front part of this message on the kids. But the start of a happy Father's Day is with you knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. That's really where it all begins. And dads, you cannot make a difference in your home for the Lord without knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And in Acts chapter 16, we have the story of the Philippian jailer. And one of our favorite passages of Scripture, the Bible says, where the jailer comes out and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is there a period there? No. There's a little comma. It says, and thy house. Because when a child gets saved, a child gets saved. When a mom gets saved, the chances that the children are going to get saved is really good. That kind of that not trickle down in the sense that salvation is trickle down, but moms will tell the kids. When a dad gets saved, it has a permeating effect on the house as a whole. And when they see dad's life changed, it isn't long before mom says, my life needs to be changed. And the kids say, my life needs to be changed. When a dad's life is changed. And gentlemen, you don't change your life. You don't accept Christ as Savior because it'll make your kids happy or because it'll make your wife happy. That's not what salvation's about. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior because you recognize yourself as a lost sinner who is so beyond the pale of God's grace that there is just nothing that could possibly make God take you into heaven without you accepting His Son, Jesus. And you realize how close you are. You are a breath away from eternity in hell. And that scares you. And that should scare you. And just like a child that is scared, you go running to the one that can protect you. And won't those children go to dad? And so if we're here this morning and we don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, we go running into the arms of a Heavenly Father and we say, your Son Jesus is the only one who can possibly pay my debt. He's done that on Calvary's cross. I believe that He died for me. I believe He was buried in that tomb for me. I believe He arose from the grave for me. And oh, I accept Him as my Savior this morning. I ask Jesus to save my soul. Would that be your prayer today? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I don't know the hearts of anybody here. You do, and nothing is hidden from you. And Lord, I just pray this morning that there is a dad, a man, a woman, a child that is here that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, right now, You've been working on them through the whole service. They're under conviction right now. This needs to be the time that they would trust You as Savior. Father, I pray they wouldn't put that decision off. Give us the opportunity to open God's Word with somebody and introduce them to Jesus. Lord, we pray for that mom that needs to make that decision. The child. Lord, don't let them put that off. Father, I pray this morning for the Christian kids of all ages. It's really up to us in a lot of ways, whether it's a happy Father's Day. And if our lives aren't being lived for You in a life of wisdom, may this be the day that we would make those changes before You to bring honor and glory to the name of the Heavenly Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.